Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, my old friend, one of my best friends ever from Los Angeles, Edward Romero.
Howdy.
184. This is episode 184. We met at Shark Tank, where I was quickly written up for having a bad attitude, and I argued I was from New Jersey, and this is my nature. Uh-huh. You know, scorched earth wherever I went.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're still there.
I'm still working for Shark Tank. I have nothing ill to say about that company.
I love that company. Yeah. I learned so much. No, honestly, maybe I wasn't ready at the time to take that job, but I learned so much just about business, you know. Person after person goes up in front of the sharks, and they are like, hey, I got a sausage company. I need $800,000, and I'll give you 24% of my company. And just thinking in terms of that, like, okay, so he's got to get more pigs. He's got to buy more peppers and onions. Where's this money going? And then when you watch that show a lot and you look at the people around your life, you start to realize, oh, my friend Jimmy is a stupid fucking sausage farmer, and all of his businesses will fail. You know what I mean? My other friend is a straight-up guy. I would totally invest in his. But you start to look around, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
what have you? What was the best shit on Shark Tank that you've, of deals that got made or anything like that?
Well, the thing is, I'm always surprised at, I should start off by saying that what I'm always surprised by is that of how I really don't know shit. You know, I don't know shit about what I think, like, because, you know, my job is to cut, you know, the videos of people who are submitting. I do casting editing for Shark Tank, so just to clarify.
Right.
And
so the videos come in from all over the country, and they might be like 20 minutes long.
Right.
And then you got to go through and get the gold to see what the producers, what the sharks are going to be interested in behind the scenes.
We cut them down to like a minute and a half. And,
right.
You know, just the good bits. And then, you know, all the effort is to, it's a team effort to make like the best possible package going forward. Right.
Right.
So
honestly, behind the scenes, you want everyone to get the deal.
Right. Well, yeah. Because there are people you hope don't succeed. I shouldn't say that. I personally have some. Certainly, the show doesn't feel that way. But there are people that I think these guys don't need the money. You know, or they're just going on the show to get some free publicity or something rather than like, you know, which I think gets in the way of like people who really actually could use the help, you know, like there are like people who could really benefit in their whole, you know, anyway, I digress. The thing that surprises me, I guess, to answer your question the most is how much I don't know about stuff, because I'll see things and I'll go, oh man, like that is really cool. And my what I do is I immediately, if I see something I like, I'll immediately go online and then, like, order one. Or I'll see how much it is. I'll see some cool thing. I'm like, oh, I need to have that. So I, you know, go online and I get one. This happened to me with, as an example, like an iPhone case that I, that's dumb. But somebody had applied and who it was a teacher who was like an AV teacher. And he's got this company, and they make these things. This isn't sponsored by them, but they make these things called. Now I'm gonna screw it up. The iRig, I think. Yes,
okay.
It's called an iRig. And it's a case for your phone. You put your smartphone into the case, and it's got a couple of handles on the side, and it's got some soft shoe mounts and a hard. Like a 3/4 inch slot on the bottom. What do you call that? You know, a bolt where you get for a camera mount.
Right, right.
Now I sound like a total idiot. Anyway,
just a socket for
it's
a camera.
Basically,
mount?
Right. It's basically
or like
to,
a DP.
Yeah, it's basically to turn your phone into like a roving, you know, camera. It's got you put lenses on it. You can get wide angle lenses and telephoto lenses
right,
and stuff.
Right.
And you load it up and your phone
you
becomes.
You could shoot a whole TV show.
Right. You could shoot a whole, you know, podcast. Anyway.
Right. Right.
And so as an example, you know, that thing that comes through, I don't believe it actually got on the show, but I immediately was like, oh, I need one of those. And you go online, you buy it, and then I've been using it ever since. So, so I'll see cool things, and I'll be like, well, this is a shoe, and this has got to be, you know, get on the show. And, you know, I don't know. Or it's something that, well, surely when this goes on the show, you know, there was a guy who had invented this machine that this aired, so you know it's a machine that sucks moisture out of the air and gives you drinking water, and and they can build them as big as you want, so you can stick them in Africa and like they'll have clean drinking water just sucking it out of the air, and like here it is, just
you get solar panels, right. And boom, all of a sudden you're a magician.
Yeah. And I thought, well, now that is something that absolutely everyone is going to want to get a piece of. And, you know, it was just torpedoed for all kinds of reasons. and I was like, what? And then, of course, you know, some product that you would think is completely idiotic, everyone loves it and it gets a deal.
Yeah, you know, also, people can just watch the TV show at home. I'm sure a lot of venture capitalists watch the show, like hedge fund companies watch Shark Tank, and they go, well, maybe we can see if they did good deals or bad deals, and maybe we should, you know.
I think that all the time with the show, as far as like what to, like if I were, you know, if I had a bunch of money, I see stuff all the time, like it doesn't get a deal, I don't think, well, I would invest in that. You know, of course, I'm an idiot, so I'm probably I don't know shit about shit. So,
can I tell you, working season one of Shark Tank, the very first season, you know, you don't know if it's going to do anything. I got a package in the mail. It was Big Dick's dry rub. It was a dry rub called Big Dick's. And it was, I took it home, and they were like, you know, hey, see if this is any good. I used it, tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just rubbing it in the meat for just way longer than I had to, because I felt like an American.
Uh-huh.
And a great product, but they couldn't air it, because it's ABC, it's Disney, right. You know? That one slipped through the cracks.
Big Dick's rub.
You just can't do certain things.
Big Dick's dry rub. It's a shame.
It's just a shame that some, like, FCC guy, like, looked, okay, we're going to say, can we say dick 74 times in 4 minutes on broadcast television?
Not just dicks, but big dicks.
Wait, is it Crest? Do we have Viagra? Who's the sponsor today? Look, that's just your side hustle, Edward. We're talking about your side hustle.
Right, sure.
The real shit... It's Jed's Dad. I don't know if anyone's ever heard, but you've been on. If you go down to the cinema bar on the jukebox, forever etched on that glorious machine of metaphysics that only holds the greatest bands that have ever been through the cinema bar, out of respect, the first one up there was Jed's Dad.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it was the first one, but certainly it's in there.
How much does it cost? 35 cents? Do you see any of that?
making big bucks off the
jukebox at the cinema bar.
The cinema bar. Yeah.
Do they help you out? Do they give you a nickel every?
No. I haven't really looked at, you know, for royalties.
Was there a sign-on bonus?
No. It's an honor only just to be mentioned, you know.
Mm.
So, or to be included with the, how's that go with the awards? It's an honor.
It's nice to be invited.
Yeah. So
places.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, but you know, we actually when I'm in there sometimes, this is one of those dumb things about. Sorry, I lean.
Yeah.
This is one of those dumb things about. I don't know, being a musician, I suppose. I'm not sure where I was even going with that.
You're at the cinema bar.
What's in this beer?
Some Miller Lite, man.
Can we drink on podcasts? That's legal.
Smoking weed. Hey, look, this is some Jed's Dead for people.
She never loved a loser till one night she got caught with a $50 bar tab and half an ounce of pot.
And And you edited this. This was like your first editing job before you started doing movies and shit, but way before Butterfly.
Well, I'd like to take credit, but no, this was edited by Matthew, our keyboard player, and editor on the film.
Did you shoot it, though?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so it's, it depends on what footage you're looking at, because it was shot by our DP, which was Elias Matar, and I've worked on a bunch of stuff with him. You know, we're partners in crime. So he shot a bunch of this. I think maybe we had a B camera shooting as well, if I recall. And then, yeah, mostly all I did was direct the music video on this. If you call it that, I don't know. But certainly, it's from the film.
Piece of Americana. You're in a dive bar. You're hanging out. Look up, Jed's Dead on YouTube.
It's so funny. If I may talk about this bar for a moment.
Yeah.
The bar that we shot that in, we were just talking about the cinema bar. Cinema bar down in Culver City, my favorite bar in Los Angeles. And so we play down there quite a bit, so we thought it was appropriate to shoot down there. And the owner, Rod's, always been really good to me as a filmmaker. This was the first thing we shot, and we shot a bunch of scenes in there for the film, for Butterfly, and then of course we went and shot the band in there to, you know, tie it all together, I guess, you know, for the to make this music video. We've since shot in there a whole bunch of stuff. There's a scene in Ribbons that we shot in the cinema bar. A pivotal scene, I suppose you could say.
Ribbons.
And yeah, so if I can backtrack a little bit,
sure.
So the not that your listeners can see this guy in the video, this guy Garrett Penwell, mm-hmm. Who is a good friend of mine, and
yes.
you know Garrett.
I know Garrett well. He was in Damien Shadows.
Exactly.
He plays the sleazy. Salesman who sells Damien Shadows a lot of bullshit ghost detecting devices. which, yeah, we can play that video too. Let's talk about Ribbons. How does that do with Ribbons? You used as a location here?
Right, yeah. So we used, so it's just because Elias and I are funny. We like to, you know, self reference our own shit. And in Butterfly, there's a fella in there named a character named Izzy, played by Garrett Penwell, and he is the band's sound guy in the video. Now we've never had a sound guy in the band Jed's Dead, but for the purpose of the film,
he's the mixer in the band.
Yeah, so he's the sound guy. He gets, you know, hauled off. Spoiler alert ahead if you haven't seen Butterfly, but you know, he gets murdered. So
it's a horror film. Butterfly. Check
yeah.
it out.
So. So in Ribbons, we brought Garrett back into the same bar where he's the sound guy, and he's playing a drunk in the bar, and the timeline totally doesn't work because he's dead already. But Elias and I like to think that he's the same guy. You know, he's just hanging out in the same bar, and at this same bar, it just happens to be that, you know, years later he gets, or maybe moments later. After this incident, he gets picked up by Lainey from the other film and taken off and murdered, you know, after he gets his ass kicked by the guy in Ribbons. So it's, you know.
A lot of shit goes down at
the cinema bar. It's some crazy, yeah, there's some crazy shit.
A lot of murders, music videos.
Yeah.
It's a great location. Let's talk about your latest movie, Ribbons, that just found distribution on Starz.
It's true. We have distribution. I should really be better at this of like who the distributor is. That
Look,
would be good.
You know, that you're the artist.
Well,
the managers make the phone calls. They make the deals.
Yeah.
You can't be bothered where the checks are coming from.
Yeah, I really can't be. I mean, so.
This is the trailer of Ribbons. Check it out. Chick shooting a gun.
Well, you're just looking at me kind of rapey.
And then they're making love. In the next scene. I go, they can't see this. They're just listening to it.
Saw a guy eating in a hurry.
There ain't no cops out here. Unless you call.
He's smacking her around a little bit.
Oh, Brian Krause, man. That guy is an animal.
Did you get to see it, his dick? Did he take it out during the sex scenes?
No.
Is it meaty? It looks like it'd be meaty.
You better not be fucking lying to me. These people are fucking animals. You don't get it, do you, girl? You think she loves you? She's fucking using you. That's what she does. She lies to get what she wants.
Are you like some kind of serial killer or something?
Watch what I tell you.
Oh, there goes Garrett.
He just got fucked up in the cinema bar.
Yeah, he just got knocked cold out. Knocked out cold.
Not even a line first. Disrespectful.
Yeah. Well, he does get some lines in the film. Before
okay, not
he
in the trailer,
out, but not in the trailer. Yeah. Okay, but he made the trailer, so that's you know that's
an honor.
That's the least I could do, really.
For your roommate and your buddy.
Exactly. We keep it in the family.
So there were some military people. What was the loose plot of Ribbons to tease people? What are they in for?
Well, Ribbons is our little indie film about a soldier with PTSD, and he comes home and he meets a girl in a bar who's a wild child and. She sees something in him that you know interests her, and he sees her as sort of a salvation for his you know depression.
Two broken people trying to fix each other. Two broken puppies sniffing each other's butts in the night.
Yes,
trying to figure each other out.
Yeah, and then so that's you know it's basically about that, except that it's you know then they go and you know meet her parents who are despicable people and there's a whole crime, murder, theft, drug deal plot happening where you know he's got to go up against the Armenian mob and
what
you know.
Those guys are very tough.
Yeah so it's,
can I tell you, I had an Armenian mechanic? Boy, did he overcharge, and he was rude. I'm not saying all Armenians are like that. That's not what we're saying here. But the ones in the mob will fucking cut your dick off.
Right, yeah, you don't want to fuck with the Armenian mob.
The mechanics in the valley.
Or the mechanics in the valley.
Let's talk about the valley. Let's talk about fires.
All right. Valley fires?
It was in Santa Ana. Oh. Down in the OC, and then also in Sonoma County.
Right.
The same day, right? This was, when exactly was this?
Last month.
October 15 or something?
Yeah, let's say mid-October. That seems to be about right.
There were fires that started in the same day in both Santa Ana and Sonoma County. Many wineries were...
is that right?
Yes.
I hadn't heard that.
The wineries, you know?
No, but the fires. I just
millions
wasn't aware of,
dollars.
Of the two locations.
Yeah. It was confusing because it was happening at the same time. So you're like, yeah, I know about the fires. No. There's other fires.
Oh, there's more fires, yeah.
More fires. But, like,
these are not the fires.
Sonoma County and Napa. I mean, look at a map. Santa Ana, it's like the bottom near, like, fucking Disney World plus wine country, which is 9 hours north of that.
Right.
By car. So, boom. That's what really got me suspicious the first time I saw it. And then, this is dark web fucking internet conspiracy shit. Are you ready?
Okay, yeah.
There's something called directed energy weapons.
Are we gonna talk about how those maybe were used in 9/11?
Maybe. And maybe they were also used to spark these fires at the same time. I'm gonna play a little video.
This is
a laser tattoo removal. This is published by AMA Regenerative Medicine and Skin Care. All right, some dermatologists. They have a company. They do laser tattoo removal. Now let's look closely at what they're doing. They have a laser.
Uh-huh.
It shoots at a tattoo, and it makes a bunch of welts, but there's these... How would you describe what's going on?
I would describe that as blistering. You know, it looks like they're using a laser to blister the skin and therefore remove the ink from underneath it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's accurate, but that's what it looks like.
So fucking gross. He's turning his, like, tattoo into, like, scales, like fish scales.
Right, you're turning his tattoo. It's like then you go from, like, hey, I had this tattoo and I'm embarrassed by it. Now I've got a scar on me that looks just like the tattoo.
Yeah,
but now I'm a burn victim. Yeah, but now it's, yeah, now I'm a burn victim.
Oh, my God, it looks like an octopus tentacle. It's so, it's making me nauseous to look at. But look at these photographs. Now, these are terrible photographs. I actually have better... I have these in color. Why am I showing you these? These look like a CIA file.
Well, I mean, your listener is not okay. Going to see them anyway.
Okay, so there's one photo that looks like there's, like, a whole block, a whole housing complex.
Mm-hmm.
Like a square 2 miles of acres and acres of houses, right? Mm-hmm. And the houses look as though they've been erased by a tattoo removal system. What's weird is the trees between the houses are intact. That's what really bothers me. Some of these trees look green. This is a photo from Santa Ana after the wildfires ripped out all of these houses. I'm just saying, if you look at the photographs, it looks like the houses were removed and then the trees are still around it. If you look at this next picture, it shows one house, like, the other side of the one side of the street, house is intact. Other side of the street,
totally
all the houses are smashed, and there's still a tree up.
That is interesting. That tree is completely untouched, and it's right next door to an entire block of houses that are completely
and it
just demolished.
Has green leaves, it seems, right?
Yeah.
It's like its pretty leaves
odd.
Are still...
And across the street, none of them are touched. I mean, that's...
Doesn't this look like just a fucking... Eye of Death came from the fucking... This is from Santa Ana.
Has anybody seen Khaleesi lately?
Khaleesi?
Yeah.
From
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones?
Yeah, because that's what it looks like to me. It looks like somebody flew down with a dragon and just,
yeah.
You know, did a strafing run.
Right.
You know?
That's a hot bitch, by the way. Anyway.
I'm not into dragons that much.
Look
but, I mean,
at
it's
this
good looking dragon.
This is another thing of a housing complex. The houses are down, the trees in between. I've just seen wildfires more like the trees are the tinder to the continued fire. But these, it's just the houses are removed. This is one of the more disturbing photographs. There's a car on the street. This is in Sonoma County because the wine. A car has been melted. And its axle has dripped down the street in Sonoma.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
And then the grape vineyard is right next to it, and it's fine. And I actually have a color photograph of this. I'm just saying, if you look at some of these aerial photographs from the Santa Rosa situation.
The Santa Rosa situation, is that what we're calling it?
I guess so. These are color photographs. I thought we were going to meet at the cinema bar. I fucking took this, binding.
Yeah, nice. So
look at this.
I'm glad you were prepared, though.
But look how green these trees are.
Yeah.
In between these houses that are just fucking, these are houses. Boom, 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 boom.
That is pretty crazy. I've never really seen these photos. Yeah, there's another one.
But look how green the leaves are in this tree here. Right next to the house. That got demolished on the other side. I'll put all of these. If you go to the RSS feed, I'll put all of these photos I'm talking about. This is the weirdest part. So the car is melted onto the road, but then the vineyard next to it is still green. How is this a wildfire? This is Sonoma County, mid-October of this year. Look at this. Oh, this is from Tennessee, actually. This is from Tennessee, but this melting of the axles is what's interesting to me.
Is that because they're aluminum? And they, is it?
I don't, it's
it
just
must
like,
be, right? Because,
this is another one. Look at this. A gas station is fine because, you know, the Rothschilds own the gas or whatever. This is ridiculous. But these buildings in between were all lost to the wildfire.
Okay, that's pretty
these,
strange.
These are sure. The Santa Ana fires that we've heard about on the news.
So what is your
I have
hypothesis?
No idea. Directed energy weapons. It does. I don't think these were wildfires.
Now, you know me. I love a good conspiracy theory as much as the next guy. Well, maybe not as much as you if you're the next guy, because I think you'll have a little more.
Well, I made a whole CIA file.
Yeah, you made a file. And
look at that. Top secret.
So, what do you suppose, you know, I'm just let's
sure.
run this out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so what would be the reason for the use of these energy weapons, particularly in Sonoma County? Like, is it because is it conservative elements of the government trying to punish winemakers of California?
I think they just look through
the
tax returns.
The 3 million illegal voters, they're like trying to, you know.
They just look through the tax returns and they go, oh, all the people who live in Orange County in Santa Ana on this housing block, we can get rid of them. Zant, zant, zant. Let's just test to make sure this fucking works. I don't know.
It seems, but that's usually, I mean, with the conspiracy theory, you know,
yeah.
Like, or with the majority of conspiracies, at least in my
insurance scams, pick your poison. I'm just looking at a photograph and going, that doesn't look right to me.
Sure. Well, it's certainly, they're certainly strange looking. I'll give you that. I just wonder if you follow the money, though, like what if let's say we have these really awesome energy weapons in the government's arsenal,
right.
And I'm not suggesting we don't, you know, maybe we do. It seems strange, though, that they would use them to burn houses in Sonoma County when they could, in fact, use them, you know, in Iraq or something.
Isn't it rude? It's rude. Yeah. I think 9/11 was an inside job. I'll go on the record saying that. And then that was to go into war and steal oil from free people of Iraq. So we just took over the country. We stole all their oil. And I think oil's obsolete as an energy source. But the bankers, you know, they got a lock on that scam. So they're going to keep it going as long as possible. It's not – if some guy comes through with a better idea – maybe they'll just shoot him in the head. That's way easier than changing their monopoly of oil. So, when you look at it like that, to me, anything's possible. It's not beyond the pale for me to think that the rulers at the top would just wipe out a housing block because they could put it as like a research.
wipe out an entire... community just to see if they could do it.
Were those photographs fucked up? I mean, what the hell is going on there?
Well, those are, you know, it's certainly, I think those are interesting photos. And
some of
and
it is like
there's a compelling story there.
There's a mall, right? In one of them, there's a big mall, and there's like, you know, when you have a mall with a massive parking lot around it, it's not possible for fires to happen when there's just potted plants around a parking lot, all right? So then the buildings in the giant mall with the giant parking lot, the buildings in the middle have just been erased by the hand of God. This one, this one, this one, not the gas station. I don't know. It's like, what the fuck is going on here? That doesn't look like it makes sense. All we're told is wildfires.
Right.
Wildfires.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, the wind and the humidity. I don't think so. Not by what that photograph looks like.
I would, you know.
I don't know nothing about nothing.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know either.
I'm in a rock and roll band.
They are certainly.
That's you.
They are certainly some pretty interesting photos. However, I will say this.
Wow.
If, you know, you've got, like, if you ever see, like, I've seen some weird shit that, say, tornadoes do. you know, weather is weird and fire is weird. And it does, like, you know, there are eyewitness accounts of fires, you know, jumping over a highway. And you just see the fire because it's catching wind. And the fire
Right. Leaps
over a highway sure. And hits onto the other side and then starts going again. Or, right. You know, like, a, you know, the classic tornadoes, you know, will pick up a blade of or a piece of straw and drive it through a 2x4. You know, and you think, how is that physically possible? Well, it's nature's weird.
In a tornado, you know, at the eye of the thing. But, like, I've researched, there's was massive, in, like, 1890, San Francisco burned to the ground.
Oh, yeah, but the then, big one.
The, right?
Yeah.
But you think about that, and you're like, oh, those are a lot of, like, houses made out of wood. So one person's fireplace goes over, you can go, oh, yeah, this city would go down because of the building material.
Right.
There's not massive parking lots between the townhouses in San Francisco that all just took to sunder. And when you have, you know, an encapsulated house that the windows get blown out or whatever, I mean, there's a lot of oxygen available in the room. Everything's wood. I don't know. I can see that happening. But I've only seen a painting of it because there's no real photographs because they're like just invented that shit.
The old somebody's doing like a courtroom sketch of the Chicago fire.
Yeah.
In this case, San Francisco. But yeah. Still.
Do you think that Hillary Clinton stole the election from Bernie Sanders in 2016 and then go on as the loser of the DNC to then lose the general election?
Yes. Yes, I do.
What evidence have you seen? I know you know nothing about nothing.
I do. I know nothing about nothing. Let me get that straight. Well, yeah.
I got degrees on the wall.
You do. You know a little something about something.
No, I'm a great liar. I can turn anything into a story. That's it. I know nothing about, I don't know. That's not like a real degree where I know like electrical engineering or anything.
Well,
you know what
well,
I mean?
Sure. I mean, it's not, it is a valuable skill, though. To be able to put a sentence together.
I spin webs.
Yes.
I make lies.
Yes. Well, you're a storyteller.
We know nothing about nothing. Did Hillary Clinton steal the DNC? What evidence do you have?
Well, there's a lot of it out there. I mean, it's all kind of come to light, hasn't it? I mean, this isn't even a conspiracy theory anymore. And what's weird about, like, if I could segue a little bit, as on a personal note, I find it very strange, like very strange sort of, I don't know what, if it's company, you know, or mental company to be in or whatever. Because as you know, I enjoy a good conspiracy theory. A lot of, conspiracy theories have to do with, you know, the government and, you know, the evil government doing evil things. A lot of right-wing people have been, like, conspiracy nuts for years or whatever. I consider myself to be more of a left-wing conspiracy nut. But then you find this weird common ground. And that's how you end up with somebody like Trump in the White House. Because I think, on a personal note, there are a whole lot of people who are just fed up. And all these conspiracy theories, like, you know, whichever ones were true or not true, as Robert Anton Wilson says, you know, there's, you know, I'm going to butcher this quote, but, you know, there's three types of conspiracies, you know, or maybe three types of conspiracy theories. You know, one is like, or theorists, maybe that's what he was saying. Like, one person is like, it's because the person's crazy. You know, they've actually are mentally unhinged and have come up with this really elaborate scheme, you know, that of how the world is working against them or against, you know, whatever thing that they're trying to prove. And then there's misinformation. There are conspiracies that are not really conspiracies but have been put forth as conspiracies by people who have an agenda. And we've seen that, you know, all this Russian meddling in the elections mm-hmm. and such. I, you know, also on the flip side of that, you know, well, is it a conspiracy that even happened? You know, so that's another.
I think that they were just like, look, we stole the election from Bernie. Let's just start blaming everyone on the Russians and confuse everybody. when it's just like, it's none of it's true. We caught you stealing the election. Yeah. And the chair of the DNC has gone down for it. It's all this thing is coming out from the WikiLeaks. When sure. we have all of her emails.
But you remember when WikiLeaks used to be like, remember when like progressives would champion WikiLeaks? You know, right. when it, but really when you look at their history, and it, now it's coming out with all this stuff with Kushner and, you know, the whole, the Trump administration, what do you call it?
Who's Kushner? I don't know who this Kushner guy is.
Quit. My point being that it's been, you know, WikiLeaks has clearly been working for right-wing interests. And this gets to my point of what I was saying is weird company that I find myself in sometimes, where I'm thinking, like, I have friends, like, when the whole election and all that was happening and all this crazy shit, all this basically what we know now to be Russian-influenced bullshit, you know, fake news stuff that was all happening and people posting all this crazy conspiracy shit on Facebook and everything, I found myself to, you know, it's a weird place to be in when I'm standing up, like, for some rational thought on something, you know, where I'm normally the guy who goes, oh, look at this crazy, you know, this is, you know, I can talk about 9/11 all day, but, which I do believe was an inside job. And that puts me into the category of crazy conspiracy nut. Yeah. And so everything I think must be, you know, ridiculous.
But when you just watch the towers and when I look at the photos from Santa Ana, I'm just like, I just call bullshit on that. Like, I just don't think that Building 7 could have fallen like that from that.
Well, I agree about Building 7. I just don't know that I can make that leap into... Well, here's the thing. Because there are conspiracy theories, and there are conspiracy theories. When it comes to something like 9/11, there's a bunch of them. Mm. And how those buildings came down. Energy weapons is one of those conspiracy
Dr.
theories.
Dr. Judy Wood talks about energy weapons.
Sure.
And Dr. Stephen Jones talks about thermite.
Right.
And very also, interesting. I don't know. Those are two big schools of thought with the 9/11 thing, and I have not heard them debate. I would like them to debate each other.
Right.
Point fingers, show evidence, call each other cocksucker, you know, have Joey Diaz or someone referee it. What? Who's right?
Get Nick Diaz to referee it.
But also the... Yeah, what's up, motherfuckers? You would just say the most irrelevant stuff over two doctors trying to hash out the biggest conspiracy of all time.
You'd be like, yeah,
I ain't scared of y'all 9/11 motherfuckers. Suck my dick. It's like, well, okay, who gave them booze and a microphone? What is happening? Two doctors are this is the most sensitive conversation of all time.
Well, don't put too much credit in you know, or don't give too much weight, I suppose, to a doctoral degree.
Right.
I mean, certainly anybody can get one, you know.
You get them online these days. Dr. Phil has his PhD in horticulture, and he just, like, fucked a pumpkin in the face for 4 semesters until they gave him a doctor. You know, you don't know where that guy got his degree from.
Right.
Is that rude of me to say?
That said, yeah. You know, clearly there is evidence, and it shows that, yes, I mean, Clinton stole the election from Bernie, you know.
Now, but then you prop up a loser.
Yeah, could Bernie have won? I like to think so, because I was a Bernie supporter I all the way. But also, at some point, you know, like, the adult... in me took over, and this is what I mean. Again, I'm circling back to this strange company that I find myself in, because I was at one point, I was like, you know what, I just might vote for Trump just to screw the mailman, because I know Clinton is, like, you know, she's old school, like, you know, yeah. She's part of the good old boy system, right. The whole network, the thing that Trump's talking about. But then...
Trump's saying drain the swamp.
Right.
And she's been swimming in those waters her whole career.
Right. But then the adult took over,
And I went, okay, yes. I know the young 20-year-old punk rocker in me wants to burn the whole thing down.
Yeah.
But let's think about this for a second and what it means to put that man in office. Even, you know, now we know that, you know, it was a horrible, horrible mistake. But, you know, when a lot of my friends were going, you know, if I'm not, you know, never Hillary, you know, these never Hillary people, I certainly would count myself sort of in that camp in a, theoretically, you know what I mean? But when it came to casting my vote, there was no way that I was going to, put, like, I couldn't in good conscience not vote for the Democratic candidate or not allow Trump to get into office. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't do it.
I now, just didn't
is
vote.
That the same thing? Well, it's here. Abstinence is, you know, certainly to abstain from voting is a form of protest as well. And a lot of people did that because they didn't like Hillary, and that's also what got Trump elected. Because remember, Trump only won in the Electoral College by something like 75,000 votes. Like, realistically. By the popular vote, he lost by 3 million. You know, of course, they were all illegal because, right. You know, fake sure. news and all that bullshit. But the reality of it is he won by a very narrow margin in those swing states.
Sure.
And it's because a lot of people didn't show up. They were like, I don't... Or people who are in the middle, you know, who may have voted one or not, they went with Trump because they're like, oh, he's something different. And people wanted something different. People want change. I want change. I certainly don't want the same, you know, military industrial complex, you know, calling the shots. But are they going to not call the shots? Do you think they're not calling the shots now? Even with the bozo, the orange bozo, and, you know, they're still calling the shots. They'd call the shots if Clinton was in. They would just do it different. They called the shots when Obama was in. You know, people don't like to hear that, though, particularly, you know, I guess my liberal friends, you know, because you can't say anything bad about the other side. Now, I voted my conscience, but, you know, it was one of those, like, you got to swallow it and go, okay, whatever. I'm gonna do this because I think it's the right thing to do, but it's certainly not what I want to do.
You got influenced by liberal Hollywood, you know. Look, man, I just was like, look, I saw her steal it from Bernie. As it was happening, I was up to speed because my tentacles are only into the conspiracy world.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched her steal it. They were like, she stole it. So I was like, okay, I can't vote for her. Yeah. And then I see this other complete narcissist retard on the other side. And I'm like, what is happening? This is like, you know... If, like, a Ron Paul was on the other side, or, like, someone who made sense ever, I'd be like, yeah, I'll go for that guy. But then you got Trump, who I know... I used to live in New York City. I met a lot of people who had building contracts to build Trump buildings, like apartment buildings and skyscrapers and stuff. Mm-hmm. He didn't pay them. Right. And he was like, sue me, bitch. Because he knew that the legal system, when you sue someone in New York City at that court, okay, wait... 6 years. Wait 3 years for that court to reach the docket. That's how many motherfuckers are suing people in New York City every day.
Right.
So he's like, sue me, motherfucker, suck my balls. You go bankrupt. You cannot last 6 years as a business without getting that $70 million check that he fucking owes you legally.
Right, yeah.
So I'm like, I can't vote for this guy because I met people that he fucked over. So the game is over. And until any president is on the campaign trail talking 9/11, talking about these Santa Ana directed energy weapons, I mean, it's a circus of fucking corporations.
Well, yeah, you think that's going to change? Now I can't. I'm not ready to jump on board with this, the energy weapons, you know, conspiracy. However,
did you see that tattoo get removed by that laser?
I did.
Was that a laser?
That was a laser.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So they have a little lasers. a little dermatology clinic
mm-hmm.
has a mini version of what the fucking military developed in the underground base with Nazi scientists from Project Paperclip. You know, they all looked at each other's wieners first
mm-hmm.
for blackmail material.
Right, sure.
They got the black males in. They sucked them off for more blackmail material. Well,
and also they were hooked up to the E-meters.
The Scientologists got involved. Look, in a Freemasonic lodge, there's the Scottish Rite, the York Rite, the Templars. At a certain point, it's just a shared space in the cult. So, like, you got to come in, you got to do that initiation.
Right.
And then the York Rite has it from 215 to 555. And the reason for that is, there's numerology involved, okay?
Uh-huh.
So if there's a sex orgy before that, like, the OTO people are in the lodge too long, I mean, like, just spiritually, the Templars can't send... Nah.
How would you like to be one of those Mason groups, you know, that comes in after the orgy, you know, and like their time is like, you know, the 15 minutes
you
after the
said
you
get
orgy.
The cum bucket guy before the Templars. We have the fifth degree we're initiating right now, and we're slipping on cum from the blood orgy and the goats.
Right. And who let Ben Affleck in here?
Honestly. You know? He didn't write the Good Will Hunting movie. He's been an embarrassment ever since. Let's take a little weed smoker break. Back in a minute. You know, we're acting like hood rats. You know, we went in the alleyway behind the dumpster, smoked a joint. I'm a good host. You know, I want to make sure that my guest is comfortable.
I'll bet Joe Rogan doesn't treat his people this good.
How dare you? Anyway, let's talk about Pizzagate. No, yes, yes. All the. Do you know he makes he makes $78,000 every show.
Really? Wow, that's pretty good money.
Putting out three a week, hosting the UFC, doing stand up, selling out stadiums.
Yeah,
he might be the best ever.
UFC much longer though.
You don't think so?
He's been talking about leaving for a couple of years now, and if you notice, like,
is that contract is in negotiations?
Well, maybe. I mean, he's already done that. He already signed a new contract. Now I'm talking like I know the man. For any of your podcast listeners out there,
it's interesting.
I don't know shit.
His story is an interesting story in MMA in general. You know, contracts. When your contract is up, you better have just knocked out a motherfucker, or they can go like, "Hey, go to Bellator, make a quarter of the price."
Right. Well, actually, Bellator is
But you can wear your own sponsors.
Right. Bellator. A lot of people who are going over to Bellator. A lot of these guys, you know, are happier there than they were at the UFC, because Bellator is sort of like the Wild West. It's like the old days of the UFC,
right.
You know, where it's like, hey, we're going to put on a show. I mean, they're doing a fucking heavyweight tourney, you know, where it's
amazing.
Just like, you know, that's old school. That's like old school UFC. UFC can't touch that shit
anymore. No, it's like
shit
pride anymore. Shit.
It's, yeah. I mean, Bellator, to
me... They have the Grand Prix. That's what they're doing. They're doing a heavyweight Grand Prix with Quinn Jackson... Who can't make light heavyweight anymore. 205, he can't make that. He's going to come in at 225, 250.
Right.
You have Big Country Roy Nelson.
I can barely make 205 myself these days.
Dude, I'm so fat. Let's talk about fried chicken later. But anyway, you got Frank Mir. Frank Mir taking on Fedor Emelianenko in the opening round.
What a dream
matchup.
Yeah, when is that card?
I think it's in January. I think all next year we're going to get the Grand Prix. 2018 it's starting, and it's going to be done before the end of the year.
I kind of love Bellator for that. I mean, it's janky as fuck, you know, and they're not getting the cream of the crop. They're getting guys who can't hack it in the UFC anymore, you know, should maybe retire or whatever, and guys who are coming up. Who can't get into the UFC or whatever. However, that said, they put on great cards.
Right, right.
There's a lot of really great fights. They have a lot of great fighters still, because a lot of these old guys who've been fighting forever, like Frank Mir, can still kick ass. You know,
he got knocked out against Mark Hunt. He got knocked out by. He got beat the fuck up by Alistair.
He's gonna get knocked out by fucking
Fedor.
Fedor, yeah.
Well, it goes to the ground. Who has the advantage there? Does Frank have the advantage on the ground?
Yes.
But Fedor, look at how many wins he has by armbar. He knows how to do that.
Yeah, he knows how to fight on the ground. I'm just saying, but he's a knockout artist, and Frank Mir has been knocked out a couple of times. So
Fedor could get hands on him.
Once you get once you get your bell rung, you know, you saw it with Chuck Liddell. Like, they're just not the same fighters.
I know, but Fedor, his last fight, he got knocked out against Mitrione. Mitrione is also in this Grand Prix.
Right.
So is Chael Sonnen, who really is a middleweight.
Right. He's, well, yeah, he talked himself into that Grand Prix.
But it's like he's a middleweight. He got a little older.
He's going to be fighting at, like, he'll probably come in at, like, 205
or 215. Yeah, maybe. You have to be 206 at least. You have to be over 205.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to. Yeah, I guess.
You have to be, like, 206.5 to fight heavyweight legally. You know what I mean? Because it's between 265.
Chael will come in at 210.
Yeah.
I mean, hell. Yeah. It's like, I'm walking around at 205 myself. I'm sure he puts on a little muscle and he's good to go. He doesn't have to cut weight at all. Just, you know.
I don't know. I think Chael versus Mitrione? Are you fucking crazy? Mitrione is like 255. He's going to have a 40-pound advantage. And Chael lost to Tito Ortiz. You could argue he tapped and then didn't. But still, Tito, what I was watching when I was watching that fight is Tito is a bigger man than Chael is.
Well, Mitrione is going to, he's going to totally, he's going to murk him. That's
but for Chael to even be in there is just, like, stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, I want Rampage to knock him out, and so I don't have to see him versus Mitrione, which makes no sense. Way too small. For
him versus Rampage doesn't even make much sense, really, but, yeah. You know.
Cause it,
but I guess it makes more sense because they're both past their prime and they both fought it. Well, I mean,
yeah.
205. Did Sonnen ever fight at 205, actually?
Yeah, he fought Tito at 205, and then he fought Wanderlei Silva at 205, both in Bellator.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, get a little older, put on a little extra weight. You know how it is.
I know how it is. Trust me.
I mean, remember when you and I used to spar? I think I didn't realize at the time, but I think I outweighed you by 40 pounds or something like that.
I think I used to be like 170. Now I'm like 210.
Now you've gained 5 pounds on me, so now you're the bigger man. But I always thought you were the bigger man when we were fighting because you're taller. And I used to think, well, because you're tall and I'm stocky, like maybe it balances out. And I thought we were about the same, but then. You know, I think it was probably the last time we sparred. I was like, well, it was like 40 pounds difference.
I remember you showed me a picture. You got a selfie of you, and you just had big bruises on your arms.
Yeah. Yeah, from your leg, or from your kicks.
Yeah. And you were like, we will fight again, sensei. That was fun as hell that day. We just, like, barged into a Muay Thai gym, and we were like, hey, can we kick the shit out of each other in the back room? We'll give you $10.
Like, yeah, we don't care. But
they're like, hey, maybe sign this waiver. Do you have headgear? We're like, don't worry about it. We just beat the hell out of each other in the back of this gym.
That was good.
Good times. We should do that again.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
I've been
working on my ground game, so
I don't know nothing about that. Yeah. You can show me stuff.
You gotta know it, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I was doing Krav. For, you know,
you were showing me how to take knives out of people's hands, how to take guns out of people's hands.
True, yeah.
You had a rubber gun.
Yes, indeed. I still do. Still have it. But I haven't done Krav in like
a year. That was just for sex.
Right now I just use and masturbation. That's mostly what I use it for now.
You just fillet it.
Yeah.
As you look at your resume. Oh, I'm a fucking loser. That's what I'm doing as I'm sending fucking letters to agents as managers every fucking day. Shoot me. Go on.
I quit doing Krav. I had to because I had a shoulder injury and it took me out for like a year. Six months.
Was it an Armenian guy? Was he aggressive
with you? No, it was what they call frozen shoulder. Have you ever heard that?
No.
It's the worst. I could barely lift my arm on my right side. Like I could.
AC separation?
It wasn't a separation. It's like it crystallizes somewhere. Like you get an injury on it, and then it crystallizes. And it starts out, you sort of hear clicking and popping, and then it just kind of gets stiffer and stiffer until you can't move your arm anymore. And that's what happened to me on my right side. So I couldn't. So I couldn't train for 6 months.
You couldn't masturbate.
Well. Yeah, that was difficult.
Did you start warming up pumpkins?
That's why the rubber gun came in. Oh, okay. I just shoved that right up my ass. And
there's all sorts of G-spots up there, right?
Right, yeah.
That's how science works. put a rubber gun up your ass.
The old rubber gun in the rectum.
You come really hard. I didn't make it.
No, God did that. You know.
And then he says, "Don't be gay."
Right.
That's rude.
Yeah. It's not. It's not a perfect system. You know.
How does my prostate work? Well, if you get fucked in the ass really hard, you come everywhere. Don't be gay, huh? You're saying I should. Wait a minute. Say that again. So a dick in my ass feels awesome because of this, and I can't. But then you wrote it in a book that I can't do that. Let's talk about some fighters. Look,
is there something you want to tell me? You have some new tricks you've learned in New Orleans or something? It sounds like
a... Look, whatever happens behind a chicken shack in a men's bathroom is another business. Let's talk about two men, Jake Ellenberger versus Mike Perry. More than any fight that's ever happened, I think about... Jake Ellenberger is never going to fight again. I mean, sometimes you watch, like, UFC is a rough sport. Two people are fighting, and, you know, they don't want to get knocked out. So it's like, well, if I got to kill a motherfucker, I'll just do that.
Oh. You know, Matt Brown just retired with that same elbow.
Like, yeah.
Just
smashed
that vicious,
Diego Sanchez over the top.
Straight up. And I love those elbows. You know, just like the raid, just pick it rip. It's so nice because it's like right there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't think, you think Ellenberger's done?
He was out here. Okay, so Ellenberger's still out. Apparently he was out for like... several minutes, like 8 minutes, where it's like,
that's brain damage.
Did we just watch someone get murdered? Because it, you know, it's like any elbow that you throw to another guy's head, if it's perfect, right on the temple, it was so fast, right on the temple, a short elbow that he really leaned into.
And
Mike
he didn't
Perry.
Even, and Perry didn't even follow it up. He was he moved in and he was like, oh no, he's out.
He's convulsing on the ground. Then the other one that I think about is Donald Cerrone fought Rick Story. And the ending combination to this fight.
Oh yeah, I love this.
It's so brutal. What a good fight.
Cerrone, top of his game.
And he just went up to 170. This is like his second fight at 170.
Yeah,
he was a 155er his whole career.
Right.
And then
they gave
him like smaller welterweights.
Obviously the last couple of fights have not gone his way. But I got mad respect for Cerrone. He's still one of my favorite fighters.
Look at this. He kicked him in the face. Boom, 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 knees, ba, left hooks. That kick to the face, okay?
Well, thing was, he set it up with punches. That's, you know, it's like, bam, bam, he threw a 1-2, and then as Story is backing up, that's when he catches him with a head kick.
Oh.
Look at that, boom.
Oh.
See, he's ducking down and backing up, trying to avoid the punches, and just...
He
walks right into it.
Boom. He got hit with a body shot, so his body is just naturally going down because he just got kicked in the liver. And then, boom, his face is met with the shin of Cerrone. That pushed all of Rick Story's teeth and his bottom jaw in. Like, his bottom jaw is fucked.
Oh, really?
I don't think we're going to see Rick Story again. That's my point.
Okay.
That Jake Ellenberger was ruined by Mike Perry. Never be the same. Rick Story was destroyed by Donald Cerrone. Never be the same.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's like, when you look at these contracts with the UFC, it's like, okay, if... will I be set for life if I enter this competition? You know what I mean? It's
right.
Like, look what can happen.
And the answer is no.
Never.
The answer is they don't even have a union, so you don't even have insurance.
Speaking of not having insurance... Try to be an orphan fucked in the mouth at Pizzagate. Okay, look. Pizzagate.
Nice segue.
Hardcore segue. From getting fucked over in the cage, from getting fucked over by Pizzagate. Now, you know about the Franklin cover-up, right? That whole...
Rick Franklin? Rich Franklin,
right? He was a senator.
No, Rich Franklin, the fighter. Oh, okay.
No.
So I was bringing it back to
the middleweight champion.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, this was a mainstream news story on Pizzagate.
Pizzagate actually comes from the WikiLeaks release of hacked emails from Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta. In all, WikiLeaks dumped around 50,000 email messages, and it was from those emails that the claims that John Podesta may be part of a child sex trafficking ring come from. Now, to be clear, not one single email in the Podesta emails discusses child sex trafficking or pedophilia. That is a fact. But there are dozens of what seem to be strangely worded emails dealing with pizza and handkerchiefs. Self-described online investigators say that those words in the emails about pizza and the talk of handkerchiefs is code language used by pedophiles. So how did a DC pizza parlor get pulled into the story? Well, again, reading any mainstream report may indicate that Comic Ping Pong Pizza was somehow linked to this fake story and has no relation to anyone involved. But the truth is, that's not true either. What media is ignoring is that the Comet Ping Pong Pizza Place is actually referenced in the Podesta emails at least a dozen or so times, and that the owner of that place, James Fantas, is a friend of John Podesta. He was actually named, this is kind of strange, by GQ magazine as one of the top 50 most powerful people in Washington. Yes, we're talking about a pizza parlor owner. Now let's talk facts here. There is no solid evidence that Comet Ping Pong Pizza is being used to run a child sex trafficking ring. But there are some very strange connections between Comet Ping Pong Pizza and a second pizza place two doors over, Besta Pizza, and the accusations of pedophilia. Now this is where things start to get strange when you research the story. Now to begin, I need to show you a 2007 unclassified FBI document. That document, according to the FBI, contains commonly used symbols by pedophiles to express their preference in children. I want you to see these images here. These are the images. Notice this one on the end, the triangle. That image signifies something called boy love. The pizza place next door to Comet Ping Pong Pizza, Besta Pizza, well, this was their logo until only a few weeks ago. Clearly, you can see that the Besta logo actually contains the same image, I'm going to show you again, as that boy lover image. Interestingly, after Pizzagate investigators pointed this out, Besta Pizza changed their logo, and there it is now. They removed the triangle. Also, Comet Ping Pong, owned by Fantas, is the place where a number of performance artists perform regularly. Two of the groups that perform there, who you can see advertised, by the way, on this Comet Ping Pong poster, include a group called Heavy Breathing and another group called Sex Stains. Well, if you check out the YouTube videos by these bands, Heavy Breathing has songs that do joke about pedophilia, and the band Sex Stains has a video that includes, and you see it right there, that same boy lover symbol. It's nearly identical to the one that the FBI does say is a pedophile code symbol for boy love.
So this guy Ben Swan, who did this CBS affiliate with the eye of Horus in their CBS logo, he's now, nobody can find him. This Ben Swan. Nobody can find this guy. He's gone. Really? Somebody murdered him, or he's gone. He has disappeared.
Huh.
So.
Discuss.
Pizzagate for you.
Well, that's very interesting.
I just think that there are certain levels of Freemasonry that ritualize and put you have to be a pedophile to get to this level of particularly 33rd degree Scottish Rite Freemasonry. That is my accusation.
Okay.
They share a space with the Templars. The Templars lost accreditation, perhaps because of this situation. I don't know.
Okay.
I only know what my friend James Robert Wright told me in the Lost podcast, but we were in a jacuzzi in Calabasas and we were smoking weed and he told me the story. I don't know, but that's what he said. I was just talking to a guy. Anyway, listen to my Lost podcast with James Robert Wright to know what the fuck I'm talking about. due to all the WikiLeaks, when Hillary's emails came out from WikiLeaks,
right? They boy, found a lot of other stuff.
There's an incredible amount of information about corruption, particularly the Clinton Foundation stealing money from the Haiti Earthquake Fund.
Sure, I
mean, whatever, whatever.
Clintons are. If you're crooked, a friend, the Clintons are crooked. I mean, that's,
There was a statistic on that. If you're a friend of the Clinton, your likelihood of suicide goes up by 853%. Your likelihood of suiciding if you're friends with the Clintons goes up by 853%. How many friends do they have? How many of them are suicided? They're lawyers, all kinds of people.
So you're saying they're killing these people off? That would be
any of their enemies.
Yeah.
They're a mob family that ascended to great power. Doing fucked up things and killing people who do too much.
Yeah, I mean,
whatever.
I guess, you know, I'm with Bill Hicks on this. I don't think you get to be president. I don't think you get to be in those positions of power without playing ball with a whole lot of horrible people. You know,
I don't know if this is true.
Is that jaded, but maybe? But
I don't know if this is any of this is true. You know, let me say this. There's a college in New Orleans called Dillard that used to register RNs. You would take their program, you're a registered nurse at the end of it. They put out so many incompetent dummies that they lost their accreditation. Dillard, unless radical changes happen, can never produce another nurse ever. The Freemasons can't put out Templars anymore. I don't know what I mean. What does it all mean?
Well, maybe America is just getting too dumb, and then the adults in the room, the real, you know, the real cabals that are running shit, you know, maybe the old European Masons, they're like, you know what, we can't trust these Americans. They're stupid. We better cut them off.
They can't do these Templar degrees anymore because whenever they send people to a convention. Like, they can't even, like, levitate a quarter off the table, which is, like, the first degree of Templar. Like, you have to be a magician.
Uh-huh.
And these dum-dums are coming over, like,
ooh. Can't even do a card trick.
They got, like, a flower and a candle. And they're like, ooh, it's embarrassing. It's more of, like, a performance art that's, like, freeform. Tricks, buddy.
Right.
Showbiz.
Well, I tell you what, I was up at Magic Castle I guess maybe it's 2 months now, and saw some amazing magic up there. I'm a sucker for magic.
Do you think some of it was real?
No, I think it's really well crafted. I'm not saying that I don't think that some, you know, you probably know this about me already, that, you know, I'm a big fan of Charles Fort and the 14 times.
I don't know much about this. Keep going.
Oh, well, I should let you borrow some back issues of 14 times. I'm surprised we haven't talked about this. It's a British magazine. It's been out for years. It's I like to think of it as like the Thinking Man's World Weekly News, because they cover all these topics. They cover conspiracy theories. They cover Bigfoot, UFO, crop circles, whatever. But they do it through this lens of it's not like the skeptic. Like, they're not going in with the lens of, like, total skepticism. The basic tenet of Charles Fort, and thus the magazine, is that one measures a circle beginning anywhere. And so what they try to do is take a holistic approach to the information. So you take all this information in, and you go, okay, we have this, and we have this, and we have this. This we can disprove because we have this, you know, evidence. This we can disprove because this person has come forward and said, yes, we faked those crop circles, whatever. And they'll lay it all out. But then they'll go, but this piece of information we cannot verify, it has not been disproven, and so therefore falls into the realm of what they call 14 phenomena, which is something that after all investigation seems to be the most logical conclusion, such as, you know, maybe this person's full of shit that they got abducted by aliens because they were actually raped by their uncle when they were a kid, and they've, you know, translated that
into something else.
Well, he's got absinthe and LSD, you know.
But this other person, you know, you can't explain these strange scarrings or this weird thing that they found in their neck or whatever. So maybe they did get abducted. So, you know, they take a holistic approach to it where they're, you know, like, let's look at all the information and then make a conclusion based on that information.
Wait, you have a chip in your head that's of a metal that's not found on the planet Earth. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. How does it get there? You know, it's like, it's how I like to approach 9/11 when we talk about, you know, those mm-hmm. conspiracies. Because I don't know, and I'll never know, because even if they go, oh, this is what really happened, and you get some, you know, crazy explanation for it, you know, that may even make sense, you're still never going to know, because everything is, you know, you weren't there, you weren't part of the conspiracy, so you don't, you know, you're never going to get to the absolute truth of it. However, you can look at the buildings. You can look at Building 7 in particular, but you can look at the way those buildings fell, all of the evidence, all the information that we have. You can gather all that information. I don't know who was behind, you know, the 9/11. I believe it was an inside job. I don't know who necessarily did it. You know, I also don't know what method they used to do it. I've seen really compelling evidence that there were no planes. In fact, that those planes were digitally inserted. Mm-hmm. That's pretty compelling. I've seen evidence that
there were Raytheon-designed remote control planes.
Right, I've seen that. That, it, to me, is probably, it, like, it was a drone that flew in there. That I think that's probably the most likely scenario, but that the drone, it was controlled, and then the explosion was controlled, both of those towers that dropped, and Building 7. Building 7 is a no-brainer, because there's actually, you have, I'm at a loss for his name, the guy who actually owned those properties.
Oh, Larry Silverstein.
Right, yeah. You have him on tape saying, you know, they called and asked me, they said that there's too much damage and we're going to have to pull the building. And he said, okay, go ahead. And then they pulled the building. And everyone knows that pull the building means they demo the building.
Yeah.
What else could it mean?
But then they paid off a company to create a report with an alternate conclusion that random fires brought down the building.
Well, sure. Which,
the NIST report.
Right, and that doesn't make any sense, especially when you look at those pictures of the building burning. It only had a small fires happening on lower floors.
And
the building collapsed from the center, and, you know, it's like, just like the two towers.
And a scientist called Kevin something was working at NIST. He's good friends with Dr. Stephen Schultz. And Kevin, I forget his last name, he was working at NIST and was calling bullshit the whole time, and he got fired. So he was like, look, we're trying to make this report. I can't put my name on this report because this makes no sense.
Right.
And they were like,
well, the official, yeah, that get official 9/11, that official 9/11, a whole bunch of people, not just him, a whole bunch of people who were on that committee,
Ryan,
came forward and said, we couldn't do our job because we were being stonewalled at every possible turn. And they were given no budget. They were given a really small amount of time. They spent more money on investigating Clinton's blowjob than they did investigating the biggest crime committed on American soil ever.
But she had, like, fat titties and stuff. You know what I mean? There's a lot that goes into that investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Monica Lewinsky.
Sure, yeah. It's you know, you got to get into all the details.
Just, like, the trajectory of the calm. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like the magic bullet.
A lot of investigative information goes into,
because then you got to get a bunch of, like, fucking Texas whores to, like, recreate it just in a lab.
Yeah.
Or that blowjob and, like, how it got on the dress. You know, there's, like, research. So I'm just saying, like, yeah, it is like apples and oranges.
Well, yeah, you make a good point, yeah.
Just all the rubber guns, because certain actors that come through have certain riders.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm going to stay at the Four Seasons. Yeah. I need a rubber gun.
I need a rubber gun, preferably in bright yellow.
Yeah. And a jar of Vaseline. Oh, and no, Don't knock between the hours of... This is very important. Write all this down. Don't knock between the hours of 1 a.m. and 4:30, because I have a rubber gun in my ass, and that's when the Templars can come over to the lodge.
And get some pizza.
Look, there's codes going on. Does pizza a little boy is a, or a little girl? Is hot dog a little boy?
Yeah.
This is... I'm going to play this next clip. This is David Seaman talking to David Wilcock, talking about mass arrests happening all over the country and a cabal takeover.
How far up is Trump able to go? Does he bring down the Podestas? Does he bring down the Rothschild clan? How much of a clean sweep will we see here?
So many people know about this. There are any number. There's hundreds of thousands of videos exposing the cabal that have millions of views. It's more popular than mainstream media. It has become mainstream. That's why Trump won the election. If you love him or if you hate him or if you're somewhere in between, you cannot deny that the stuff he was saying that caused all those votes to come in was exposing the truth. It's exposing what we know if you do your homework and you have enough fearlessness that you can actually look at this thing. You know, one of my own family members said to me, I can't live in a world where this is true, therefore I'm not going to look at it. And it's, well, that's exactly why it's worked for so long.
But let me stop you there for a second.
All right.
Because you're talking about the Trump administration draining the swamp.
Right.
Has he shown any evidence of doing that?
There was a, you know, like the military went into the CIA this past week.
Rex Tillerson.
Okay.
How do you explain him if he's draining the swamp? How do you explain
that ExxonMobil
has its hands so far up Trump's ass that, you know, they're moving his mouth like a puppet.
That's bad.
It's like, and this whole, I know that, you know, this Russia, you know, scandal is all the rage these days, but Trump has been in bed with Russia since the 90s, at least, going back that far. And that's provable. So, you know, the idea that Trump's going to, if Trump's going and draining any kind of swamp, if his team is going after people, and I'm not saying that, certainly there's a whole lot of bad people on both sides of the aisle. If Trump's going after these people, it's not because of some altruistic, you know, white hat referendum draining the swamp and we're going to get rid of these, you know, sickos in Washington who have, you know, pizza parlor sex rings. It's because they're his political enemies and he's going to destroy them.
You know? Maybe. I don't think Trump and Clinton get along that well, you know?
No, I don't think they do.
But there are some reports that Trump visited Epstein's Island, which is a pedo island. But anyway, that's another story. But it's just like, I wonder, like, you know, David Wilcock at the start of that thing, he was like, don't think about Trump when I talk about what's happening. And they mentioned a military person. And I think that there's like an internal core of like good military people that are kept out of a clearance. You know, like, I had a friend who was a Scientologist who you met, okay? Remember that person? She would never read what OT Level 3 material was in Scientology because she thought if she read that, she would get pneumonia and die. That's what they tell you. If you read about Lord Xenu, when you're not an OT Level 3, your nervous system's going to shut down. You're going to fucking die, and she believed that. So then the South Park came out, and that showed OT Level 3 material. And she called me one night, and she goes, "We don't worship aliens. All that shit is bullshit." And I go, what OT level are you? And she goes, "Oh, I haven't gone clear yet." I go, "Bitch, when you're OT3, you're going to hear all that shit." I just went gangster on her. And now we're not really friends anymore because she didn't like all the questions about how fucking dumb her religion is. She was like, her eyes would glaze over when I would ask her questions, and like the programming would. There are security levels in the U.S. government.
Yeah,
top
I know.
Secret,
I
super
had
top
some.
Secret. You were cleared with some, huh?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I just think that they keep the information.
Certainly, I wasn't at a clearance level where they were going to tell me who did 9/11.
Right. That's the thing. So when people come from the inside and they start speaking, you also have to understand that they were compartmentalized, they were brainwashed, they were, you know, it's crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you get with, that's the trouble with UFO conspiracies, is that you have something like, you know, UFO Magazine, which hardcore UFOlogists claim is a government prop, and that they put false information. It's meant to mislead, even under the guise of, like, we're the, you know, authorities on UFOs, and they have all kinds of cockamamie weird stories in there to make it seem ridiculous. And that magazine is run. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I'm just saying that once
UFO
you start...
UFO Magazine is run by the CIA.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
It gives those career guys some on our project to do.
Right. I mean, so where does it stop? You know, it's like all this ridiculousness with, like, fake news. Right. And, you know, once you start calling all news fake news, then where does it end? What is the ground truth? Nobody knows it anymore. And because of all the information that we have available, there's kind of no way you can know it. I just got new information about this pizza place. Pretty fascinating. I wouldn't have guessed that because of mainstream media. Now, does that mean that I think all mainstream media is fake? No. Do I think, you know, does that make me then go, oh, I should probably be listening to Breitbart, because if these guys are, you know, if right. CNN is on the payroll, then Breitbart has the truth. No, they're just different arms of bullshit, you know?
Maybe. Or, like, maybe Ben Swan gets out there and he does the first CBS affiliate mainstream article about it, which should be picked up by the other affiliates based on the content. He's disappeared. Oh, Breitbart? He has a heart attack at 51. Well, you know, it came out in the church committee hearings of the CIA back in the 70s that the CIA has a heart attack gun.
Does this pistol fire the dart?
Yes, it does, Mr. Chairman. And a special one was developed which potentially would be able to enter the target without perception.
But also the toxin itself would not appear in the autopsy?
Yes. So that there was no way of perceiving that the target was him.
Have you brought with you some of those devices which would have enabled the CIA to use this poison for...
We have indeed.
For killing people?
The round thing at the top is obviously the sight. It works by electricity. There's a battery in the handle, and it fires a small dart.
And the dart itself, when it strikes the target, does the target know that he's been hit and about to die?
A special one was developed which potentially would be able to enter the target without perception.
The church hearings in 1975 in Congress. Look this up. CIA heart attack gun. They have this gun, shoots a needle in you. You have a heart attack. That's purposely undetectable on every autopsy. And then he's
sweet.
Like...
Sweet.
You know? So when it's like, oh, Breitbart talks about this, but...
I wonder if we can get the plans for that heart attack gun online and somewhere. We should look into it. Because, you know, imagine. Imagine the good you could do with it. You know, you could be like... We could be like Green Hornet and Kato. You know how Green Hornet had his, like, you know, stinger gun? Like his little stun gun?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know... We could have the heart attack gun.
Go back in time, shoot Hitler babies.
Oh, Hitler babies, yeah, with a heart attack. Yeah.
What's
going to do? You know, shoot the driver of the Hindenburg, you know, with the heart attack gun, so, you know, that doesn't happen.
You get a rubber replica of the heart attack gun and just stick it in Hitler's baby's asshole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Full-on adult Hitler, you know, you get him with the rubber replica of the heart attack gun. Yeah. You know,
if you make him come with a rubber gun in his asshole, he's going to have a lot of questions about himself. Maybe lose confidence to do all that Holocaust stuff the next day.
Yeah, certainly he's not going to be able to yell as loud as he's going to be hoarse after all.
Let me be clear. All this material that I was talking about is just bits that I do on stage. I do this bit where I go like, God played a cruel joke on the male anatomy. He gave every guy a prostate, and then he says, don't be gay. Anyway, these are bits that I do on stage. Just jokes.
It's good.
Thank you.
The act's really coming along.
In New Orleans, I got great stage time. Let me give a shout out to all my New Orleans brothers that I miss out there, brothers and sisters. GG, Geneva Joy, everyone at Young Funny, DC Paul, Byron Broussard, Kyle Smith, the late John Rowe, who I miss very much. A good friend of mine, John Rowe, when I was living out there, he died. Anyway. Thomas Jones, people like Comedy Gumbo, and certain white people like Kevin Little and John Cranfield. Anyway, I have a lot of friends. I love you all. Vidal Loazo, you know, my good friends I miss out there in New Orleans. I had a great time. I met a lot of people. I lived there 3 years. It was beautiful. I had two Harlot girlfriends that you can hear all about on episode 160 of Highway Diary called The Meltdown, where I talk to my ex-girlfriend, and she tells me all the other wieners that she was into. So that was rude. But anyway, let's talk about, speaking of wieners.
On your podcast? That's rough.
Just after we recorded, she started telling me all this stuff, and then I told it to the mic. But you can tell that she's crazy the whole episode. Let's talk about Corey Feldman. Now, Corey Feldman, do you know about all this stuff?
Sure. It's very interesting now that, you know, the Kevin Spacey thing has come to light. And, and now the stuff he's talking about doesn't seem so crazy.
Let me ask you this. You know, you're at where you're at in your Hollywood career, Edward. What would it take for you to lie on a dirty couch in a guest room with Kevin Spacey? It's like regular sessions.
A couple of beers. Maybe some pot. What do you... wait a minute.
I'm getting, I'm feeling
a little suspicious now. You don't have a couch in the back here, do you?
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Look, what we're talking about, you motherfucker. All right, let's go lay on the dirty couch. Would it take an editing gig? What if you were given millions of dollars to star in TV in the biggest movies in the world? The biggest movies in the world.
I like where you're going with this so far.
You get SAG residuals for the rest of your life.
Okay.
Every time that movie, The Lost Boys, you know, all the big diddle flicks that Corey Feldman was in. The Goonies.
The Lost Boys was one of them?
The Goonies, you know, right? All the big checks.
Yeah.
You know? Like, what's the size of the gun that's got to be in your asshole? Like, what are you willing to give? Like, how... You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Everyone's trying to ascend the ladder of Hollywood.
Basically, what you're saying is, everyone in Hollywood is a whore. What's your price?
Look. Listen.
Did I get that? Did I sum that up?
And New Orleans. Listen to episode 160. But go on. Yes, I like where you're going with this.
Well, I think that's probably true. Everyone has. They say everyone has a price. Some people have a really low.
My price is so low right now. Like, if he was like, okay, you're gonna look. Well, you're the creator of a TV show. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We're gonna guarantee you 5 seasons on Netflix.
Right.
You're going to be laying on a couch with me 15 hours a week. You know, a dirty couch.
A dirty couch. 15 hours a week? How did they come up with that number?
I'm going to get hard all the time. Like, Kevin Spacey's, like, you know, he's in a dirty basement making this deal with you with a contract. There's a fax machine going in the corner.
Right.
Every Jew in fucking New York City is, like, sending fax, like, legal documents. Like, Cosby's lawyers, like, everybody's, like, sending documents. You just hear that fax machine going, just like the Jew.
Just spitting out.
Just this,
you know,
Jew
spitting
noise.
Out the goods.
That's so...
Well, right? I didn't know we were going racist on this.
15
on this,
hours
on
a week.
This, blog.
15 hours a week, Kevin Spacey's going to be rubbing his little wiener against your bum. You know what I mean? He likes it. Why do you think it's going to take so much time? But then the other 25 hours a week, like, you're running a TV show that you've created. You've written it.
Yeah.
You're getting, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
All the actors are getting their full benefits.
Right.
From SAG.
So a whole lot of people are benefiting. You know, all you have to do is the take economy. It in the ass, literally.
No, yeah. No. It's going to be a dry rub.
Oh, okay.
Like Big Dick's dry rub.
Oh, really? You know, we're back to Big Dick's dry rub. we brought it full circle.
I'm just saying some businesses fell through the cracks of Shark Tank.
Yeah, sure. And Big Dick's
I worked on
dry
first
rub,
season, and you know? I will give testimony like in front of lawyers. I signed non-confidentiality agreements.
Sure. We all do.
Big Dick's dry rub slipped through the cracks. I think I'm allowed to tell you that.
Well, whose crack was it slipping into?
Kevin Spacey's? How many hours per week would you put up with?
Would I put up with? How many hours? Jeez, I don't know. That's a tough question. I mean, what if I just kind of likes Kevin Spacey? Then it wouldn't be a hardship at all, would it? You know? Like, I'm not approving of his behavior with minors. I'm just saying, you know, I'm an adult man in my 50s. So, you know, what have I got to lose?
Right.
You know, as long as my significant other was, you know, cool with it. Like, hey, baby, we're you know,
right.
I'm just going to do this thing for a couple hours a week. But we're going to get a network TV show out of it.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, everyone has their price. So, you know, here's the thing I'd like to, you know, if I may, I'm going to go on the record here and draw a line in the sand. Because, you know, there's all this horrible shit that's going on. And not just Hollywood. It's like, it's everywhere. You know, there's all this sexual harassment stuff happening in, you know, in Congress and in entertainment and in, you know, the news media, whatever. It's like, it's everywhere. It's super pervasive. It's like everyone has known about it for years and years, and now finally people are speaking out, and everyone's like, oh my God, and everyone's acting like they're shocked or whatever, you know, and every dude in the whole country is like, oh yeah, we were probably just being complacent, you know, and you know.
I was going to say something, but then my check from Harvey Weinstein went through, and then
right.
I was like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe I didn't see him come in a plant.
Right. Yeah. But so the line in the sand that I'm drawing is that, you know, when it comes to what it concerns me is that when you have like this flood of all of this information coming in about all these horrible things that people are doing, that the really bad stuff kind of gets lost in the milieu of the, you know, like, you know, everyone rolls their eyes. Oh, another, you know, sex predator, you know, where it could be something very serious that doesn't get taken seriously because there's so many of them now being leveled, you know, I think particularly of like Al Franken, you know, how the thing that was a joke and I'm not defending his behavior. I'm just saying it's this thing that was a joke and everyone blows it out of proportion. And then everyone comes forward and says, oh yes, well, when I was at a county fair, he grabbed me really tightly for a picture and I felt very uncomfortable. That's not sexual harassment. It's not the same thing as like, you know, Roy Moore, who's like serially molesting, you know, right. young girls.
Or, now, like, the Vegas shooting. It's like some guy out a window just went, rah, 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 rah. Like, it even is on the landscape that someone took a picture with boobs or something.
Right. That's, you know, there are bigger problems that we have in this country to worry about. Now, I'm, again, not condoning any kind of crazy, but, so the line in the sand I'm drawing, I keep coming back to this, is like, what I think might be happening is that there's this weird push of puritanical Christian values that are being they glom onto this idea that, oh, look at Hollywood, there are a bunch of liberal freaks out there, Kevin Spacey's abusing children. And then they apply that template to everybody who, you know, may be a deviant, you know, maybe you're a sexual deviant as an adult, you know, but then that behavior, because they talk about scrubbing people's images and like they expect everyone to be these like super Disney-esque, like, you know, Ben Affleck, for instance, you know, oh, he's a horrible person. You know, Ben Affleck's one of these cases that I mentioned him earlier jokingly, but
he's one of these cases where I think, like, yeah, he's probably an asshole. He's probably not a great guy, but he's also probably working on himself a little bit, you know? Like, you get the sense that, but the real crime is that he feels like he has to be this squeaky clean guy, or you're not going to go to see his Batman movie. And my stance is, like, I'm a, you know, have you read my writing? I'm a weirdo. I write weird stuff. I have, you know, my own little weird hang-ups.
Butterfly's all about torture and murders.
Well, I mean, yeah, sure, but it is. I mean, I'm certainly drawing a
deep in your subconscious.
Well, I'll, you know, it's these things that I'm interested in talking about and interested in getting out into the open and, like, having a discussion about them or exploring the ideas of things. And I think that you should be able to do that as an adult, you know? But I think what happens is that, because I'm not trying to be a role model for anybody. That's that, I guess that's the difference, you know?
Right, right.
It's like, if people think I'm an asshole or they think I'm a creep or whatever, it's like, well, yeah. Have you read any of my writing? You know, I'm kind of a despicable person, but I don't feel like, you know, I get it out in the writing and I don't do it in my, you know, my daily life.
Well, it's like, you look, I don't want to get scientific. Like, you know, it's hard to translate science on a podcast, but like a wiener, okay, like a boner, you know, I've had one for a long time. Like, I'm 32, okay?
I thought you meant just tonight.
Yeah, I've had a boner most of this podcast. But most of the time it goes like yucca, 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 yogurt comes out. And coming is a progressive disease. Like the having an orgasm is progressive. Like, every time you have it, it's got to be weirder and weirder and weirder to still get to that same place.
Is that how it works for you?
Well, you know, you put porno on it, you know? You sprinkle a little.
You don't have just some go-tos that, you know?
Kindling, like, on, you know, the fire.
Your standard.
There's old classics, but you can't go to them all the time.
Well, no, you got to mix it up.
It's a progressive illness.
What?
You wear yourself out.
I think that's, you know, that is somewhat true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. You know, but
you ever watch beheading videos?
No. Okay. See, again, what? It's a, you know, well, yeah, but you know, and I
burned a lot of bridges. Only worked Shark Tank one.
Those beheading videos did not go over.
Look,
well.
Like, I was jerking off in the office, whatever. Human resources, I don't know, but look, you know, it's like I took the edge off. If you actually look at how much paperwork I did per hour. Like, you just, you know, but there's other entities. I was supposed to have the room from 2:15 to 4:45.
And then those masons showed up.
Well, the human resource lady dressed with that emblem of titlehood came through my door knocking.
She also had the emblem of the little triangle that goes into a, you know, in on itself like a snake.
One triangle and another triangle. Yeah. Everyone's involved in the secret society. Oh, some boy. Of it is the corporate ladder.
You know.
I just talked to the elders in Zion in Conference Room 6. Let me tell you. Every board meeting is a conspiracy. The definition of a conspiracy is a plan made by two people.
Right.
This whole podcast has been a conspiracy.
It's true.
Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Two people go in boardrooms. What is the Pentagon? It's a honeycomb of boardrooms.
That was the, by the way, that was the third one. We never got around to Robert Anton Wilson's third conspiracy, you know, probability or whatever, which is that some conspiracies are true. That's just the facts. You can't take all conspiracies. They're not the same. And this is why I, again, come back to 9/11. When I love to watch 9/11's conspiracy videos. I watch them on YouTube all the time. And mostly I'm watching them because I think creatively. It's the same with kind of any conspiracy theory,
yes,
or, you know, or stories. I look at them the same way as, like, research into monster myths, because if I want to write some weird horror film about some weird monster in the bayous, you know, I'm going to go do some research on that. It's the same thing. I kind of look at it as, like, fuel for, like, oh, that's a possibility of something weird, and maybe I could turn that into a story. But it's fiction. I don't think they're all fiction. I'm saying that when it comes to, like, 9/11 conspiracies, I watch a bunch of videos and I think to myself, well, now that seems plausible. Or that makes me go, oh, yeah, why didn't they answer that question? Right. Or surely a building wouldn't fall that way under those circumstances. So that makes me go, something's going on here. What's going on? I don't know. Do I think that it was aliens? No. Do I think it was energy weapons? Probably not. There's like levels.
You're a thermite guy?
Well, I think thermite was definitely used, yeah. But, I mean, those buildings, I think, were rigged a month in advance, easy, you know, including Building 7. Because that's the other thing. You don't demo a building, like, while there's a fire going on in it. So it's not like the Building 7 and any of those buildings would have had to have been pre-rigged. And they do know that there was a bunch of construction companies going in late hours for months and months while they were redoing things in there, and they could have easily gone in there and planted the things they needed to plant. Yeah. Thermite, I think I've seen some really good footage on the thermite conspiracy.
Me too.
I don't think I'm not a fan of the energy weapon theory. You know, I just think that's like a bridge too far. You know,
they got a tattoo gun. It removes a tattoo.
I know. Yeah, and also they're burning wineries in Sonoma
and Santa Ana the same day. Fire sparking up as if it's a ritual. Oh, today astrologically, October 15 at 6:33 a.m. we're gonna initiate Dick Cheney's gonna get an erection first, because he's the Lord of Satan, and then the guy's going to suck him off, and then he's going to be at 33rd degree. So we're going to do that simultaneously across California. I'm just saying, it looks like some of the buildings were erased. We're going to take a pee break and come back. So,
we're back.
We've been talking about laying on dirty couches, Pizzagate, Corey Feldman accusing everybody of molesting him, but he had a $1 million career, you know. But now, he's going to make a movie that exposes everything. And he's raising $10 million. So here's Corey Feldman's Indiegogo campaign.
I propose to do this by making a film that will be the most honest and true depiction of child abuse ever portrayed. By telling my own story in a very real way, in a very honest way, with no editing, no censorship, no studio behind it. I will make the film, I'll direct the film, I'll produce the film, and I will self-distribute it to guarantee that it gets a theatrical release with your donations. Additionally,
and
will help me buy the security.
So, yeah, he could have done, am I wrong that he, unedited,
uh-huh.
All right, no studio.
Right. Isn't that what he's doing here?
I'm just wondering if he could have just did that. Just name the names and just
right,
set it off.
That's the problem with this Corey Feldman, story. Is if there's two, well, there's two problems.
It's got to be a big movie. I'm used to a trailer. Look, in The Lost Boys, I was sucking every producer's dick. I had a big trailer, okay? I was making millions of dollars.
Yeah, this it's similar to, I remember like being at a party, the problem is, yeah, I mean, first off, let's just address it straight up, because if, and I'm not saying that he doesn't have some stories to tell, I'm sure he does, and there's probably all kinds of crazy shit that goes down in Hollywood, and I'm not saying that. I'm not saying yes, he does seem like a crazy person, but you could be a crazy person from all the amount of,
abuse
and drug use. So, yeah, but to your point, why he's making YouTube videos with, a million people watching them. Why not just make a YouTube video that exposes all the things? You can do that for free, and you can edit it yourself. He said he's going to edit it himself, and he's going to produce it himself.
And he's like, self-producing the video
you can
that
do,
we're watching.
Like, there's a bunch of any. I mean, hell, we self-produced Butterfly. You know, we made that film for $10,000. You
really
know,
fucked
like,
up looking.
It's like you can do. He could make the movie if he wanted to without all of the contributions. I'm sure he's got enough money to do it. It probably is. It's a documentary after all, so really he gets some people in a room and interviews them, and puts old footage. Gets some rights to some old footage. You get yourself a documentary if you wanted to go that. You know.
He needs to guarantee a theatrical release, so he has to pay off the PR people, the entertainment lawyers.
Yeah, it just seems to me like it's a money grab, you know, on a horrible situation that he's kind of, I don't know, it seems like he's trying to profit from misery. I could be wrong.
Well, he said he's going to have the most graphic and true-to-life depiction of child abuse ever created.
Isn't that child pornography?
By telling his wait. Oh, I'm sorry. Pause. By telling his story.
Oh, I see.
So I was like, you're gonna beat up a bunch of kids for $10 million.
This goes back. Something he said goes back to what I was talking about the puritanical nature of some of these attacks, and you know, sort of in the water. And again, I guess I need to stress, because everyone freaks out and whatever. I'm not saying that like things that Kevin Spacey did are right, or you know, I'm not standing up for the guy. What I'm saying is that he said we're going to expose these perverts and pedophiles. Those two things are not equal.
No,
perverts.
Like
and pedophiles.
A rubber gun in your butt.
Yeah, as if to make that false equivalency. If you're a pervert, then you're the same as a pedophile. You know? Yeah.
You just like it to sniff feet, you know?
Yeah, they're all kinds of...
Just
people
girls have sequined shoes, and they just go, poop, 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 poop. And then you pour whipped cream on them, and you eat the whipped cream off the...
Some people like that.
Off the girl's
Eric,
sequined
obviously.
Shoes.
Yeah, yeah. And what else?
Look at these shoes.
Yeah.
Look at these shoes. Marciano cherries. Wow. That's a pervert.
Right.
Pedophile? Whoa.
Different.
Way different.
Different. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. And they get lumped together. This, you know, and Corey Feldman is doing it here. It's one line that you don't really think about. Oh, perverts and pedophiles. But in your brain, it's like a kind of Fox News kind of thing where, like, they just associate the one thing with the other thing. And so they go... Liberals and pedophiles, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, wait. So if I'm a liberal, I'm a pedophile now? You know, like...
Okay, just be honest. Like, a fact... Like, Kevin Spacey is like, you know, you've watched him have a couple whiskeys, okay? There's a fax machine going on in the corner.
Uh-huh.
You know that scene in Boogie Nights where the kid is like firecrackers?
Sure.
And then he's like, hey, I want you to sign this. This says anything that happens on the dirty couch happens.
The dirty couch.
For 15 hours a week.
Kevin Spacey, dirty couch. 15 hours a week seems like a lot, though.
You're getting a series, Edward Romero.
Well, let me see the contract, you know.
All right.
And then we'll talk.
Send it to my people. I'll send it to yours. All right. I got some comedy shows that I want to talk about. On December 21st, I'll be in Houston, Texas, doing comedy at the Joke Joint. And I think that's at 8:30. And you go to the Joke Joint and get some tickets. And then on January 14th, I'll be at the Ice House in Pasadena at 7 p.m.
Oh, I'll be at that show. So if you want to come out and see Eric, or you want to come out and watch me watch Eric.
So that's what's going on. And check out Jed's Dead. They have a new album that's about to drop. A new movie that's coming out.
Ribbons. I mean, Ribbons is coming out. Look for that. That's directed by Elias Matar. And he's awesome.
Co-written by Edward Romero.
Yep, just written by.
Written by.
Yep. This is one of the... You know, Elias and I split the duties on it, and I have sole writing
credit, and he has sole directing credit. And we often, you know, in fairness, we wear a lot of different hats when we, you know, it's indie filmmaking, and we often will split credits or share credits, or, you know, they get busted up in different ways, and people are wearing, you know, we decide who's doing what. But in this, in, you know, in this case, it was that was what we had decided was going to be the deal. So
if you have a screenplay, check out Screenwriter Services LLC. There's a lovely office in Canoga Park, and I can help you with your screenplay. Go to www.screenwriterservicesllc.com. Book your appointment today. They're our main sponsor at this podcast right now, Highway Diary. Thank you to my good friend, Edward E. Romero.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
This has been episode 184 of Highway Diary. Don't get pizzagated, motherfuckers. Later.